Well, here we are, sitting at the computer with my right leg encased in plaster. My last blog was a two-part affair, and I talked first about the wonders of Greenland and the frozen north where I was this summer, and ended up by a rather sorry tale about blowing my Achilles tendon while sprinting across a dual carriageway, having had something drop off the back of my motorbike. Well, the day after posting that blog, I went to hospital, and the learned man who looked at my leg said, "Well, you've busted that good and proper, son. It's the slab for you." So he put me down on the in the operating theatre, and when I woke up, my leg was encased in plaster, and I had the hard word that I wasn't to move it for a week on pain of death, and that I certainly wouldn't be sailing till Christmas, if I was lucky. So there we are. Sic transit gloria mundi, eh? You never know what's going to be round the corner. So it pays to enjoy each day as it comes. So I've spent the last 4 or 5 days basically in bed, doing not very much. My morale's been very low, but today I woke up with a... Well, I think my body must be recovering, actually. It's got over the general anaesthetic, and I'm feeling a bit more bouncy, so here's the tale. We won't talk about the tendon anymore. That's the body. You can't ever rely on your body, really. Whoever you are, you just have to take what comes. So let's talk about Greenland instead. We left off with the boat of me and my mate Ian and Dan. Ian's the skipper, and me and Dan are the doughty hands, and we've dropped anchor in Hecla Harbour, which is about the only anchorable place, or the only anchorable area, I should say, in that part of Greenland, because the coast tends to be very, very steep, and this little island of Denmark, well, it's not that small, it must be half the size of the Isle of Wight, I should think, but it's low-lying, and it has reasonably shallow inlets. We anchored in about 30 feet. So there we are. In the morning, across the fjord, about 10 or 15 miles away, we could see a 3-mile-wide glacier with bergs thick and fast outside it in the fjord. And we thought, oh, we just have to go and have a look at this. So we fired up the boat, weighed anchor, came out of our anchorage and went across the fjord. The fjord, by the way, is bounded by massive cliffs on both sides, 4,000 or 5,000 feet straight up out of the sea, black basalt with glaciers on the top of them. Glorious sight, and it's a beautiful blue still day. It's the sort of day you see in the travel books about Greenland. I've never had that experience in my life. It's always foggy. But there we were. We could see everything. And as we approach the glacier, we're on low revs because the boat cruises at 700 rpm with its Gardner fishing boat engine. Not much noise on deck at all. And you could hear this roaring and banging going on every so often. It was the bergs coming off the glacier. We approached the glacier, got closer and closer, and the bergs and the bergy bits particularly, the little chunks of ice, thickened up until they were all around us. And we really felt constrained to stop, and by now we're probably a mile off the face of the glacier. But there's an awful lot of ice around. We sat there for a while. Ian got into the little dinghy and had a bit of a row round, see what he could see, and he got near to a berg, and the berg started rocking, and it rocked and rocked, and Ian came back like he had a 10-horse outboard on the back of it. I never saw a man row so fast. And he reckoned the berg was about to explode or roll over, and in fact it did. And he got on board in decent time. But this is the danger with icebergs. They all look lovely there when you see them, and the photographs, they look unbelievable. But you can't be sure what they're going to do, and they are so huge that you're just like a little pea in a huge bath of water if one of them falls over on you. You've got no chance. So, with this in mind, we decided we'd take the boat closer to the glacier. So off we went. We found a lead that led in through the ice towards the face of the glacier, and we got a lot closer. And in there, it was like fairyland. There were great bergs all around us, some of them with grunge and debris on the top that they'd scraped up from the floor of the glacier as they came down. Some of them were breaking up. There were little floes that were flat. There were growlers rocking about, and everywhere these little bergy bits about the size of my desk just bobbing about. And the noise was amazing, and it was intermittent. Most of the time, total silence, and then every now and again there'd be this great roar like a sort of distant artillery, and you wouldn't know where it had come from. And in fact, it was coming from the opposite side of the fjord, because with the whole thing probably 10 miles wide, it's got 20 miles to travel, the sound. So if you divide that into about 700 miles an hour, that means it's 2 or 3 minutes away. So what we were hearing very often was the sound of something that had happened in amongst our bergs 2 or 3 minutes ago. So we'd seen something. Perhaps a berg had fallen over, or some great lump had fallen off the glacier, and we heard it, but that was the end of it. And then you heard it again, all this time later, and sometimes it would bounce back two or three times. So in the end, you just didn't know what was happening. If you'd shut your eyes, you would not have known. But the glory and the beauty of the scene was unsurpassed. We went a long way to see this, and I've waited a long time. I was, I suppose, 30 years old when I first tried to go to Greenland and couldn't get in because of the ice, and all my life since then I've wanted to go and see it for real, and this time have a bit more luck than last, and we were well rewarded. 35 years I waited. It was worth every minute of the wait. I shall carry what we saw then to the end of my life.